was a member of the Chester ARP Church. Perhaps there's some here today who knew Mr. White. I did email the pastor down at the Chester Church and asked if Mr. White was still alive. He said no, he wasn't. He was a pillar of the church, but his son is still a member of that congregation. In the article, though, Mr. White pointed out that he and his wife, Gertrude Henry, were married in October of 1951. And being the daughter of a strict tither, Dr. W.J. Henry, she insisted that they, as a new couple, tithe their income. Well, Carlyle was convinced that they could not afford to do so, since his annual salary was only $3,100. But, he said, red-haired new brides are quite persuasive. And I agreed to go along with the tithe, at least for a little while. 44 years later, they were still tithing. They found that they could afford to tithe when they made less than $10 a day and when they made more than $100 a day. They also learned that they could afford to continue tithing when they were building houses and buying cars and raising and educating three children and paying bills and taking vacations even from time to time. He writes, "It may be that we would have enjoyed a few more of the luxuries of life had we not tithed, but we have always had enough to meet our needs with some despair." Carlyle White concludes with the reminder that tithing is not some magic wand, a get-rich-quick scheme. God owns everything, but it does yield both practical and spiritual benefits. Practically speaking, if a person embraces the biblical discipline of tithing, giving back to God 10%, it will make that person a wiser, better manager of the other 90% that God allows them to use for themselves. I've seen this time and again. I've known many tithers throughout the years, and I can truthfully say I don't know of any of them who have been ensnared by so many of the financial problems that capture a lot of people. And spiritually speaking, the discipline of tithing is a means through which God helps a disciple grow in his or her walk with Christ. You see, when we tithe, we are forced to identify our priorities in spending and what's most important to us. And when we do that, inevitably there are going to be times when we must deny ourselves and we must say no to something good, something we would like, in order that we may say yes to something better, like seeing God's kingdom expand. And so I want to encourage you to make the commitment to tithing. Third, giving is an act of faith. It is an act of faith. Perhaps you've heard the story before of the preacher who visited the member of his church. He was a farmer. He asked the farmer, "If you had $200, would you give $100 to the Lord?" The farmer responded, "Well, sure I would." And so he asked him again, "If you had two cows, would you give one of those cows to the Lord?" The farmer said, "Absolutely." And so the preacher asked again, "If you had two pigs, would you give one of those pigs to the Lord?" The farmer then replied, "That's not fair. You know I have two pigs." It's easy to talk hypothetically about giving and tithing, isn't it? But it's a whole different thing to actually give and tithe. And the reason it's such a challenge is because it requires us to trust that God will keep his promises and provide for our needs. Deuteronomy 26, 10 and 11, God instructs his people as to how they were to present their offerings. They were to say, "And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground which you, O Lord, have given me." And God said, "And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all that good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you." Notice what that offering is referred to as. It is called the first fruits. And that phrase suggests that the first fruits was the first part of a harvest that was received. Often it was regarded as the best of the harvest. In giving first fruits, God's people had to trust that he would do what? That he would follow it with second fruits and third fruits and so on. They had to trust that God would give them an additional harvest. And I think the nearest analogy for us today would be returning to God a tithe off the top before we pay anything else. The tithe is the first fruit. And as we give it back to God, we trust that God will honor our faithful obedience and supply all our needs. But it's not easy. Something within us wants to take care of our expenses and our needs first, and then with what we have left over, we can give to God. But that hardly requires faith in God to provide. Friends, exercising faith when it comes to money all begins with the first step. And the first step is the decision to begin tithing off the top and not simply give what we might have left over. Remember, before Naaman was healed of his leprosy, he had to first go into the Jordan River and immerse himself 7 times. Before Gideon could defeat the Midianites, he had to first cull his army from 32,000 to 300. Before the widow of Zarephath and her son could have an abundance of food to eat, they had to first give the little bit they had to feed the prophet Elijah. Before Peter could walk on water, he had to first swing his legs outside of the boat and take that first step. You see, one of the ways that God grows our faith is by requiring us to take that first step and trust in him. John Ortberg puts it this way: if I am going to experience a greater measure of God's power in my life, it will usually involve the first step principle. It usually begins with my acting in faith, trusting God enough to take a step of obedience. Now, you and I should know in advance that when we are committing ourselves to giving generously, when we take that first step in tithing before anything else, it is most likely going to result in spiritual warfare. Satan knows how life-transforming it is for believers to give obediently. And he also knows how God will use the tithe to further the advancement of his kingdom. Friends, can you imagine all of the ministries that would be possible in and through this church if not just some, but all of the households in this congregation made the commitment to tithing? So Satan will use things like fear and covetousness and pride and worry to cripple our giving. But remember, if Satan is tempting us, God is testing us. In every temptation from the enemy, there is a test from God to see if we will walk by faith and not by sight. And in those times, we must rest in God's promises, knowing that he cannot lie. God blesses giving as an act of faith. And finally, giving is an investment in God's kingdom. Matthew 6, 19 through 21, Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust are destroyed nor thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We're going to look at that passage more closely next week, but suffice it to say that every purchase you and I make is an investment either here or in the kingdom of God. And of course, the problem with our investments here is they just don't last. How many of the things that we think we've got to have today, tomorrow is going to end up in a yard sale? Before moving here, when we were in Georgia still, we had a yard sale, put all that stuff out. People come through, they rummage through it all. Things out there that I remember when I bought them thinking, I've got to have that. And now I'm selling it for 50 cents. And the guy's trying to get me down to a quarter. And eventually, where is it all going to end up? In a landfill. It doesn't last. But there is an investment that we can make here and now that will provide benefits and blessings to us and others into eternity. And those are the investments that we make in God's kingdom. We invest in God's kingdom when the money that we tithe is used directly or indirectly for the proclamation of the gospel. Indirectly, it happens through such things as paying electricity bills or doing repairs to buildings or buying office equipment. No, it's not necessarily exciting stuff, but without those things, our ministry would be tremendously hampered. And directly, the gospel is proclaimed through things like purchasing Sunday school curriculum or funding children and youth ministries or supporting missionaries overseas or supporting ministries here locally or the planting of churches or the formation of new ministries in and through this particular church. Who knows how many people God has ordained to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through these things. Their value is immeasurable. And it puts into perspective so many of the things that we end up spending our money on. Friends, I know that money can be a delicate subject in the church. As you know, it is not one that we focus on heavily here at Ebenezer. In fact, since I have been here a little over a year, this is the first time I've preached on the subject of money or giving or tithing. But it is necessary, both for the growth of our ministry and our personal growth in Christ. And we neglect it at our peril. And so I want to encourage you to take time this week, maybe take time today while it's quiet, individually, as a couple, as a family, and ask yourself these questions. Is my giving a true expression of my worship to God? That He and His priorities come first in my life. Second, is my giving an act of obedience as it relates to the discipline of tithing? And if not, why not? Third, am I giving in such a way that I must trust God to supply my needs and not myself? And fourth, through my giving, am I intentionally making investments in the kingdom of God as opposed to this fallen world? And as we meditate on all the ways that God has been so gracious to us, may we be able to say with the psalmist, what shall I render to the Lord for all of His benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of my salvation, and I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of His people. Let us pray. Our generous God, who gave Your own Son for the sake of our salvation, teach us likewise to be generous with the resources You have entrusted to us, especially the resource of money. Help us to be faithful stewards who prove ourselves trustworthy. Let our giving be not merely what is easy or convenient, but what is sacrificial and worthy of a disciple of Christ. And through our giving, Please grow us in our faith and grow the ministry of this Ebenezer Presbyterian Church for the advancement of your kingdom here and around the world. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.